This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moss Cohen.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Westenhofer, famous lesbian comedian. Yeah, big deal, right? Everybody's a lesbian comedian now. There are millions of us. Everyone's a lesbian. Have you noticed that? More and more people are lesbian. I knew as soon as we started to dress better, everyone would want to be us.
5 years ago, Suzanne Westenhofer did her first three-minute stand-up, won $25, and has not looked back. Called one of the most confident comedians on stage, she uses her humor to poke fun at herself and the gay community and to engage in some good-natured straight bashing. She's performed in clubs all over the country and was the first lesbian to have a comedy special on HBO called Nothing in My Closet But My Clothes. This past weekend, she appeared in Comic Relief to help raise money for the homeless. When she's not performing, Westenhofer talks to high schoolers about being gay, using herself, she says, as a human visual aid. Like her stage routine, she wants to challenge enduring stereotypes and myths about homosexuality. I asked her whether her audiences are a mix of gay and straight people.
Generally, they're not mixed, which is good, because the mixed audiences are very difficult to do, because the gay people are all afraid that I'll say something to offend any of the straight people who are there. And the straight people spend the entire show looking around going, hey, who's gay? Mm. Are they gay? Mm. Well, she doesn't look gay. Do people think I'm gay? You know, there's just this dynamic that's going on that I'm basically on the stage going, hey, me, I'm on stage. Let's pay attention to me, please.
Well, you've been performing for about 5 years. Have you seen a change? Have you seen if audiences are any indication of the public at large, would you say that things are changing for gays and lesbians?
The straight audiences have not changed dramatically. And you know that because if you watch talk shows, I mean, there's been a gazillion different talk shows, different ones of gay, about gay things, and it's still the same five questions. How'd you get to be that way? Maybe you need a real man. Don't you know it's supposed to be Adam and Eve? You're an abomination. It's the same thing. Nothing has changed. That has not changed.
And you've heard it all, I assume.
Oh, man. But if you talk about gay audiences, they have changed. It used to be that when you got up and said you were a gay comic, they just went off the wall and you could have said anything. You could have read from the phone book. But they're getting a little savvy now, and it's not just enough to say you're queer. They'd like to hear some humor. So I noticed that you really got to go out there and just be like any other comic and be funny, which is great.
Well, what I read, I guess, was that, and you always have to check whether these are true or not.
Oh, that's true, isn't it?
Well, that you, I guess, decided to try out on to do 3 minutes of comedy, something you'd never officially
right,
done before.
I'd not
this is about 5 years ago.
It was July 31st, 1990.
You remember?
It was my first time. Yeah.
Well, where did you think? I mean, what made you think, okay,
well, for a year, I pounded my head against the wall for a couple of reasons. First of all, I thought, oh, I can't be a comic. I don't know anything about comedy. And I went to a comedy class. I wouldn't even get up and perform. I didn't want anything to do with it. And then the other part was, okay, now if I do decide to do comedy, well, I've been out now for, like, I've been out since I was 20. Well, and this was when I was 30. What am I going to do all of a sudden go, and let me tell you this really great story about my good boyfriend. And, I didn't want to go there. But everybody was saying, well, but if you're out, then you only ever play gay clubs. If you're in, you'll get to go on television and be like anybody else. And maybe you can wait until you get famous and come out. That was always the big thing. But, you know, as soon as they said that I couldn't do it, then it was the only thing I wanted to do.
Yeah, and this seems like a consistent part of
kind
your
of a thing,
life.
Yeah. I think it's because I'm Aries. What do you think?
I don't know. So
I hate rules.
So what, you had to come up with 3 minutes?
I did. I took off that day of work, and I climbed under the covers in my bed all day and thought up of 3 minutes of gay comedy. And I was terrified because this was, although the club itself was owned by a gay woman, it was an open mic that they did every night, every Monday. And it was all straight people in the audience, straight comics, you know. And so I was, and the jokes were just awful. It was like, oh, hi, I'm Suzanne Westenhofer, I'm a lesbian comedian. I know you're expecting someone who looked a little more like Leona Helmsley, but I'm the lesbian Barbie. I mean, they were just awful. And they laughed and laughed, you know, but it was 5 years ago.
Are you somebody else on stage?
No. I'm exactly who I am, but I'm my brain is just zooming, you know, and I don't walk off stage and remember what happened. My girlfriend will say to me, man, I can't believe how they responded to that, you know, that OJ joke or something, right? That was great. And I'll go, did they like that? Yeah, honey, they screamed for 5 minutes. Oh, good, good. I don't remember.
But you're somewhere else.
You're hyped up. Mm-hmm. It's like you're very, very focused and you're not. Mm-hmm. I can't even explain it. It's the most bizarre feeling.
Did you ever have stage fright?
No. Oh, my God, please. I was that kid in grade school who, when other kids were up there giving their book reports and couldn't wait until the class was over and were hoping that they wouldn't have to get up, I was going, sit down. You stink. I want to get up there. I'm going to be great. My book report is the best book report ever. You know, I went, please, can I have more attention? So that was not a problem.
Well, I found it funny in doing some research on you and talking about the kinds of stereotypes that even in
you researched me?
I did. Your dossier was sent to me. But
my FBI file?
Mostly it's what reviewers had to say about you. And it was that she's funny and she's pretty and all these very nice descriptions. And then this thing, and believe it or not, she's a lesbian. As if you couldn't be all these things at the same time. What is that?
Well, the stereotype, of course, is a lesbian is a woman who can't get a guy. I mean, that's always been, I think it even still holds true to a lot of people these days, you know. And so, first of all, you can't look like
right
someone's
kind of guy.
Right. You can't be someone's look like someone's high school prom date and be a lesbian, unless of course you went to the prom with a lesbian. I don't know. I'm just saying in general, you can't look, you know, like Little Miss Girl Next Door and be a lesbian. That's unacceptable. And then I think during the 70s, when lesbians became at all visible, it was very much that they were humorless. You know,
and were they?
Maybe the ones that were. You know, I was in the 70s. I was, you know, pretty much in high school. Sure, I remember. Junior high. But, I think that they were perceived as being humorless, and at some point they might have been because it was the first time they were getting any kind of attention at all, and they were being blamed for everything in the free world, you know what I mean, because feminists didn't want them and yada, yada, yada. And so, but those stereotypes have just really held true. And then all of a sudden the lesbian chic thing came down, and we had Katie and Martina and Melissa. But they still are women who look like what people can still put in a little tiny box and say, like lesbians. Okay?
And short hair. I mean, I'm just thinking of all the
right.
stereotypes.
Just sort of, I don't want to say masculine because I don't think that's true, although I think Martina might be perceived that way. Mm-hmm. I think that it's just a certain look that people think that's sort of jock, athletic kind of look, which I, like, totally don't look like I'm going to be playing any sports anytime real soon. But the reality is that lesbians look like everything. It's just that you don't know they're lesbians because they don't look like it, so you're not turning to look at them.
More from Suzanne Westenhofer after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to comic Suzanne Westenhofer. Well, let me go back then to junior high and high school. Now, I don't know when you got that first inkling that perhaps you were a lesbian.
I knew I was different when I was young. I mean, like 7, 8, 9, and 10, but I don't think I had any kind of word like lesbian or homosexual or anything like that.
What was different, though?
You know, that's the thing. The best way to explain, I don't know how if I could explain it, because I think a lot of kids have different thoughts about what they are like, that they don't fit in. But there's this knowledge that you have to keep a secret very early on. Something has given you that knowledge that you have to keep this secret.
Because it's dangerous.
Right.
There's something dangerous.
And you're not sure what the secret is. You see other girls, and they like Liz Taylor, and they like Susan Hayward, and they like Julie Andrews. Why is it a problem for you to like them? And yet you know, somehow instinctively, to not really focus on it, and to just be, you know, and to, I like Brad, he's so cute, you know what I mean? And you just go along with the flow. But I don't think, as far as understanding and accepting that I was a lesbian, I was 20. I had some lesbian dabblings, if I may be so bold, prior to that. But, you know, that was like the late 70s. Remember that? It was like 79, 80. So it was like Cosmo would do stories about owning your own orgasm. And women were allowed to be and encouraged to be bisexual. So it was like trendy. It was like cool, you know. That was like for like a year, right? That was like a little while, you know what I mean. And so I didn't own that and see that as my being gay. Plus, guys were so cool. I mean, they would buy me things and pay for stuff and make a fuss. And I'm like, oh, well, this is fine.
Well, when you dated a guy, did it feel like play acting?
Yes, that's exactly right. It's like you're in a role when you're in a movie and you're just going off. And I wanted to be a movie star when I was a little kid, so I never even thought of it. It's just like I'm playing this part, and I'm being the best little straight girl ever. And I did. You know, I was a lead in all the plays, and I went to the prom, and he was the captain of the track team, and we did that whole shmeal, you know what I mean? And then I promptly, like, went off to college, dated one or two last guys, last-ditch efforts, you know, because you don't want to go out until you're pretty sure. I'm teasing. And then I knew, and it was just ridiculous to hide anymore, and I came out.
Did you suffer?
No.
So coming out, telling your parents, telling your friends.
That all happened right away. I had one or two friends in college who were upset. And my best friend at the time felt very betrayed, you know, because we had gone out looking for boys and stuff, and we thought that was very funny. And we didn't speak until I was graduated college and she was graduated college, and it was a couple years later, and I was living outside New York City, and she called and said, "Oh, I've been a jerk. I was just a kid. I didn't know any better." And we're actually very good friends now. And I like her a lot, so.
So what does it mean to be out? Because we know that, I believe even...
I think there's all kinds of ways to be out. Mm-hmm. The first thing is you have to be out to yourself. There are a lot of people who don't acknowledge in their self their own homosexuality. I mean, they just go about, they get married and have kids, and they have these sexual dalliances on the side, and they just put it out of their mind. Those people, I think, that they're the saddest people. That's very sad to me. So you have to be out to yourself, and then you can come out, like you can be out in the gay community. Like you go to gay bars and gay bookstores and gay restaurants and gay areas like Provincetown or New Hope or Key West, right? Then there's out to your family and your friends. Then there's work. I mean, the levels just go on and on. And then there's like out, you're marching in the march, you're speaking at the Pride rally, you're giving money to this group and that group.
Well, I wonder how you are in public. My understanding is that your girlfriend isn't out.
Right.
I mean, you actually have she's part of your comedy routine. Right. She's nameless, but you certainly do talk about her.
Oh, I've named her even, too.
Oh, have you?
She's so happy.
Well, are you trying to out her?
No. Oh, I'd never do that to her. She's not out because she teaches eighth grade. Forget about it.
Right.
Forget that. That's not happening. They fire her after 26 years of some of the best teaching she's ever. She's one of their best teachers. They love her. If they knew, she'd be gone. I mean, they wouldn't have to say they're firing her because she's gay. They'd find something else, and they'd hassle her until she had to go.
So when you're in public...
So she has 3 more years, then she can early retire, and then she's telling everybody. That's what she says. In the meanwhile, I'm about to spit needles on stage trying not to tell.
It's tempting?
No, I talk about my life. Here's my sister's gay. She just came out. She says to me when we're in Mexico, "Suzanne, you know I'm dealing with this coming out gay thing. Don't go up on stage tonight when you're doing your show and talk about that. Don't do that." And I walk right up and I do it. I don't mean to. It's forefront in my head. So there it is.
How did she take it once you did it?
She loves me. So it was all right.
Even though it's challenged. Do you believe in outing in any way, shape, or form? Mm-hmm. Even under the circumstances of a public figure who has the ability to write legislation that would have a negative consequences on
I'm not sure that even in that way, because then what we're saying is, look, here's a really big jerk, and he's gay.
You'd rather not claim
somebody like
this.
I almost don't want
this.
That. Yeah, why claim them? You know what I mean? Although I understand what you're saying, if we out them, then they won't do that. But that's not true. They don't suddenly become our friends because everybody knows they're gay. They're even more angry. So I don't know that that's of any value to us either. Why drag them out of the closet? We don't need that.
Let me talk about some of the work that you do with young people.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to schools, talk to high schoolers. I love this, using yourself, quote, as a human visual aid.
Yes.
I guess exhibit A.
Hi, I'm a lesbian. This is what we look like.
But what do you want young people to understand?
I go for 2 reasons, and I think you should know also that I will say this, that it's very difficult for me now to go because they're passing laws all over the place against that kind of thing. So it has really slowed down. It's a lot of trouble and controversy now, where in the beginning it was so nice.
Because you were seeing what as by as
promoting homosexuality.
As a recruiter.
Yeah, recruiter. Yeah, but that's us. We have time for that. Please. So I went, I go for 2 reasons. The first reason I go is because of the gay kids who are in that classroom, to give them a positive role model and a feeling that they don't, you know, that they're not alone out there. The second reason I go is for the kids who are going to grow up to be gay bashers. Meet me. Ask me the questions. We don't molest children. In fact, you know who molests children? I'll tell you what. Parents. Parents molest children. Parents beat their kids up. You know, like, what is that? Like 8 to 1. I mean, it's an unbelievable statistic. So don't tell me about that. We don't recruit you. We don't need you. We have a really nice looking team. You know what I mean? I don't want them to learn those things so that when they're running around, you know, let's go beat up some fags because they molest little boys. No, they don't.
Well, when you're in a classroom with a bunch of kids, and as you say, you're trying to head off some of this gay bashing, how direct are you? What do you say to like a 16, 17-year-old kid?
I'm pretty candid. I've had some kids stand up and say, you know, well, I'll tell you what, I beat up a gay guy. I beat up some fags. And I say, why? I said, you know, they think that most of those of you who do that are just really fighting your own homosexual feelings.
What do they say to
them? Oh, they hate that because they're 16. You know, oh, they're gay, you know. And I'm like, well, then stop beating us up. If you didn't really have a problem with it inside your soul, what are you doing down there bugging them for? What's your problem?
What do they say back to that?
They get quite quiet and very pensive, you know. We talk pretty candid. I mean, I've had kids say that he couldn't, if his brother was gay, he'd kill him. You know what I mean? And people, even the other kids, I didn't have to say a word. They went nuts on him. I was just sitting there going, wow, he's like 15, you know? I said, who teaches him that? Mom and dad. Hello, you know who that is.
What do you want the gay kids to hear? The kids that may have some questions, they don't know. I mean, certainly we know that adolescence is a time of emerging all sorts of things.
I want the gay kids to not have to go through feeling alone and isolated, and that there is no older gay people and that we don't have productive, normal lives. I want them to see that that isn't true. Also, I just want them to like have a sort of a role model in that I know that if I had known one other lesbian existed, it would have changed my whole high school life. I'd have known immediately who I was. I would have never had to go through trying to be a heterosexual and being quite promiscuous because I'm thinking, oh, I'll find the right guy. You know, I never would have had to go through any of that.
Do you see yourself in some of those classrooms?
No, I haven't yet, but I've certainly seen the gay kids, even though they're not aware of it.
What do you see? How can you tell?
Gaydar is what we say. It's like a joke. But the best way is to just say, maybe it is that I'm seeing myself, but they don't maybe. But I'll look and I'll just see this young gal or this young guy, and I know it. And sometimes they won't look up at me because they're very much aware that maybe what they've been suspecting, you know, and then later they come up and talk to me for just like a real quick second. They go, I think you're really cool. I thought you're really funny. And they run away because they see it too. It's a mirror. It's an amazing mirror to see it.
So which is a tougher audience, a club audience or a class of high school kids?
Class of high school kids. Because they see right through you.
Uh-huh.
They see right through you, so you can't just joke it away. You can try that, but they'll keep badgering you. Like if you say a joke to joke away something, they'll come around. Well, but what I asked was this. Because they're focused on that. They want that answer,
right.
You know.
You enjoy it, though?
Oh, yeah. I wish I got to do it more. It's really sad how hard it is now.
Suzanne Westenhofer is performing next at the Berklee Performance Center in Boston on November 17th. This is Fresh Air.